The love does not seek its own. And we're in verse the Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. 1 Corinthians. Yeah.
First Corinthians what?
13.
First Corinthians
13. Yeah. 13, 4 through 8. Yes. This is explaining, because we're in the love chapter. So we've learned that love is the basis of all of the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit, because they all hinge on that one. They all, if you can't get a handle on the love and you can't experience it or give it out, some of the other ones just aren't going to work either. And so chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians talks about what love is, and the word charity is speaking of love. That's just how they wrote it, but it's the same thing, and it really fits to me. Loving and serving others, it is a form of, not a form of charity as people think of charity today, but it's a giving. Love is an action. Love, you can't just say I love you and do nothing for anyone. It just, it doesn't work that way. And so with this examples that we have in 4 through 8, it tells us a lot of things. And we were going through this, and we had to grade ourselves to see how well we are doing in the book, or in our love attributes here. So we're on verse 5. It says, doth not behave itself unseemly. So what is our seek, or not seeketh not her own? That's it's selfish. It's what am I going to get out of, if I do something for you, what am I going to get in return? That kind of aspect. And love isn't like that. It's not supposed to be that way. And it's not, I'm going to love you only if you do something for me, kind of thing. Then I will grant you my love, kind of, you know. It shouldn't be that way. But there, you know, it happens. Even when you feel like grabbing it all, it says, and having the opportunity to do so, love doesn't try to fulfill its own desires, does not ask for its own way, does not try to acquire gain for itself. Love, as an act of the will, seeks to serve, not to be served. So I think we all do better at times with this. I didn't grade myself overly high or overly low. It was just kind of there in the middle, just because of the fact that I do better at times than I do at other times. But the more that we've got into the book and the things that we've learned about thinking of others and putting others first and going, you know, above and beyond what somebody would expect of you, just do a little bit more, you know. And I, yesterday was a good example of that. None of us knew that this was going to happen. It kind of took us by surprise, as it did everyone else. But we all showed our Christ love yesterday. It was evident in the room. You could feel it. And I think it made a big impact on her family. That, I mean, I had so many of them come up and, please let us help you do something. I'm like, you don't need to. We've got it all in. This is for you. We're doing this for you. Just go get your dinner, relax, you know. And I think we did a good job yesterday. It turned the whole thing. I mean, really, we only had from Sunday to we had less than a week, and we got that all put together really from Wednesday. You know, Wednesday we learned about the memorial service. And we did a very good job. And that's love in action. That's how we're supposed to be. When you see someone that has a burden, you may be the only one that knows that burden. But if you can do something to help ease that or pray with them, if that's all you can do, pray with them. Let them know that you're going to take a little bit of that burden on yourself and you're going to pray for them and you're going to continually pray for them until they, you know, get an answer. And so the next verse, it says Galatians 6:2. Let's go see what. Yes.
Can I just piggyback on what?
Sure.
I was so proud of us as a church yesterday. And I thought about it after I got home, and I said, now, I don't know if that's being prideful, but I sat down and I was just proud of the women. There was no grumbling. There was no spitefulness. There was nobody going, I did more than you did. Everybody just seemed to come in and pitch in and help out.
I
was just proud.
It was just so peaceful and calm. Yesterday, there was a very sweet spirit throughout. It was good. Okay, so Galatians 6:2, and then 2:6, that's not going to work. Bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. That's how we don't have a lot of people that are burden bearers today. We feel like we don't want to share. As women, I think we keep things to ourselves at times, and it comes out in other aspects. You're burdened by something, but if you're not sharing it with someone, that's going to come out in anger. It's going to come out in the way you talk. Your burden is going to expose itself because of the way that you're bottling it up, and it's going to come out in other avenues that are going to cause other problems, and you're going to distance yourself. We tend to think we have to handle it on our own. You know, it's like, this is my burden, the Lord's given to me or allowed me to go through, and I got to deal with it, me and the Lord. According to his word, he doesn't say that. He said, bear ye one another's burdens. We're a family. We don't have to be inundated, and you don't have to run and tell everybody everything that's going on. But if it's something that you really feel like this is affecting my walk with the Lord, share it with someone. Help them. Let them help you carry that burden and work it out, because they may have done something similar. Just like Pastor says, when we did that stuff on Wednesday about sharing your grief situations, things that helped you, that was a blessing to her family. It was also a blessing to other people that were in the room. That's why we have testimonies. That's why we have prayer time where we can share things. You know, we see each other, you know, enough, but we don't see each other every day to know really what's going on in each other's lives. Yes, ma'am.
I got something that's bothering me right now.
Okay.
For an example.
Okay.
Between you and I, that I tried to memorize that scripture in 13.
John 13:35?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I tried to memorize that last night and partly this morning, and I still can't get it. And then yet, I know you expect me to get it.
No, I don't expect you to do it. I'm praying for you. You've done well on the verses.
Yeah.
And I know you can do it.
But I had a hard time doing it.
But we're not done with our chapter yet.
But yet, I had a hard time getting it. So
you still have time. We're still working on it.
So we still have time?
Yeah. Just like we said, when the memory verse is for the whole chapter. Okay, we're not done with chapter 4 yet. So
we're not done.
We're about in the middle. So we have at least 2 more weeks.
Oh, we do?
Yeah. 2 more Sundays, because next Sunday is Father's Day. And we're only going to have one service, so we won't have Sunday school.
Oh, so I don't have to freak out.
No, you don't have to freak out.
You should never freak out.
And don't ever freak out. It's not like I'm going to do something to you if you don't know your memory verse. Or if you learn it afterwards. As long as you, just like the other ones, you made an effort to learn the other ones and you did a great job. I was very proud of you. I'm still proud of you. You're working on it. You'll get it.
Okay.
Even if you can say it, you know, half and half. Learn the first. Learn the first part.
Okay.
And then we'll see if you can learn the second part and put it together.
So in other words, I don't have to freak out.
No, please don't.
No freaking out allowed.
Okay.
Right. If you have little, I can give you a couple cards. You can write it down, and you can carry it around with you. And this way, you can read it. You know, and that helps. The more you get it in your head, the more it makes it easier to learn.
All right,
we'll do that. Okay, so.
Thank you for sharing us.
Yes, ma'am. Now everybody, we all can, Miss Carlene, she struggles with her memory verses too, but she keeps plugging along. Hi, Miss Leah.
I do what I can and what I can't.
Where you been? Oh no! You just have been too busy.
It sort of made me mad in a way,
made you mad at her?
Yeah, it sort of, because she expected me to get it.
No, that's not what I said. I said you still have time to learn it because you were asking me yesterday when I took you home. You asked me, what's our memory verse? And so I told you it was John 13:35. I said, and it's not Sunday yet. You can still have time to work on your verse. So, but I didn't mean you had to have it learned by Sunday. We're on the 5 minutes. Oh, okay. You're just waving this time. He really is waving at us. Okay, I see. Okay.
Good job. Now you don't have to be angry.
Oh, please don't.
So you were the same way.
No, I'm never angry about it.
No, I mean you were the same way as I was about not being angry.
I just do the best I can. And I pray to God to do better. But I don't freak out about it.
But
there's reasons why.
If you don't try, then you don't know if you can do it.
Yeah.
See, so it's like even if you miss a word or you know... If you put an effort into trying saying this verse, the Lord's going to honor that, and He's going to let you learn what you are capable of learning.
And the rest of it will say fine.
We'll just help you along. There we go. Okay, next one on verse 5, back in 1 Corinthians.
Okay.
1 Corinthians?
Yeah, we're back in 1 Corinthians, verse 5, in chapter 13. It says, is not easily provoked. Do we get easily provoked, ladies?
Yes, sometimes.
Yes,
we do.
Yes, we do.
Uh-huh. But love says it's not easily provoked. Mm-hmm. Even when others, but then there are people in our lives that they attempt to provoke more than others. They do it on purpose to get a reaction. It says love is not aroused or incited to outbursts of anger. Love continues faithfully and gently to train others in righteousness even when they fail. Oh boy. That one I didn't do so good with. I didn't grade myself well on this one at all.
What scale did you use? A scale of what?
It says at the beginning we're to give ourselves a grade, A through F.
Yeah.
A being really good and F being not so good. You didn't do that well at all.
Let's see. You had to put numbers to it.
Me.
Okay.
B.
Yeah.
I wound up at a C for about most of
Yeah.
I'm going to work on that.
Okay, so if we have like a bad temper, outburst, things like this, what do we blame for that?
Other people and other things.
Right. We don't blame ourselves.
Somebody else's fault.
Right. They made me do it. They made me be angry. You know, it's like, yes, Leah.
I try to give that person the chance. For the longest time, waited, you know, but never let you know. And when something that you need to give, that, like borrowing money, and
right,
you promise to somebody and you say, trust me.
Yeah, that one's always hard.
You have to standing by what you say.
Yeah.
And when you promise and trust me, that's mean I have to trust that person because he's succeeded to me.
Right.
But to me, what I think about it, I cannot be trusted that person because God only I can trust. Because
well,
God,
yeah,
he only
and people have to earn our trust.
Yeah,
you know, we, you know, there are people that you know in your life that are very trustworthy,
oh, yeah,
and you know that they are always going to be trustworthy,
uh-huh,
and you would hope that in your Christian family or people that you know that are saved, that are walking with the Lord,
yeah,
you're hoping that they can all be trustworthy, but it doesn't always happen. People disappoint us all the time, and that's never going to change. That's always going to be that way.
Yeah, because he's only, to me,
you know,
I said, because she's only a person. She's only a human being. Sometimes we are not always perfect.
Right.
We are not always but to me, you don't see the promise, trust me, if you cannot keep.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we're prone to use excuses for our bad temper.
Yeah.
And stress, or that's just the way God made me. You know, you hear that all the time. I'm just, you know,
yeah,
I just have a bad temper. I must always like that. Yes, ma'am.
What about guilt? I mean, if I lose my temper, I feel so bad. I mean, even if other people would look at it and say, gee, I didn't even know you lost your temper, and that happens to me too.
Right. And you're like, whoa,
I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
And I just feel horrible.
Which is good. Because it goes against your nature. You've done something that's kind of out of your character, and you've gone against. And the Holy Spirit does let you know that. You know, that was, you kind of said that a little. You know, you didn't think about this very well, and you didn't give that as much thought. You know, kind of open your mouth and insert foot kind of feel. You know, it's like, oh, I should have just kept my mouth shut. I should have, and sometimes it's like, I just think about it. It's like, you know, it's just really not going to be worth saying anything. I might as well just not say anything, because what I want to say is not going to be nice. So just keep your mouth shut. Just move on.
But you know, sometimes what I find out is people invite you into a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
They ask you, you talk and they answer.
Yeah.
And then you respond honestly.
And then they're all mad at you.
They're all mad and you go,
but hello.
I really didn't realize I hurt your feelings.
Right.
I wasn't out to.
But you asked me.
You asked me a question.
Right.
And would you prefer that I lie to you to make you feel better?
Yeah.
I had this conversation with my son. And I had to tell him, keep me out of your business.
If you don't want my answer, exactly.
Because I didn't ask to be in that. I didn't ask.
Yes, I didn't ask to be in this conversation.
And now you're sitting over there off TikTok.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And don't want to talk to me because you don't like what I say.
Uh-huh.
So that's why I said I had to grade myself down a little bit.
Yeah, sometimes.
I will.
But sometimes when you see something to them, God
He's using you to let the person know that there is something wrong, you know?
That's true.
That's what, sometimes God, when I see something to that person, I come right away and I pray and I ask him the forgiveness. But sometimes I feel somebody's touching me and
he's like,
you're okay. Yeah, you're okay.
It's like God's using you.
You're okay. That's what
you need. You know, and sometimes you're gonna feel that peace. You're gonna feel that I have to say this. But it's how we say things. We can temper ourselves in and make sure that we say things in love. It may be honest. It may be what they need to hear. It's all in how we say it, all in how we present it to them.
What I notice though,
but love sometimes needs
to hurt people's feelings, put a whole lot of words that are necessary.
This is true.
I'm one of those people, let's get to the point.
Right.
I don't have a whole lot of words.
And you know? But we
a lot of my, the Lord is my shepherd these days.
There we go. But there are ways to say something matter of fact, to the point. There are ways to say things that still leaves the door open for further conversation, as opposed to slamming it shut and you're not having any more conversation. You know, there's a way to say things and be honest, and you know, this is my opinion. I'm just, you know, stating something. This is my opinion. You can take it for what you want, but I think da da da. And you, but if you let them know that it's not, you know, this is not an attack. This is just how I feel about the situation, and you know, you have to move on. If they take offense to that, in good conscience, you can say to yourself, to the Lord, I didn't do anything. Just like Leah said, you know that the Lord's on, he's given you an okay, that you've not done something wrong.
That's why I don't feel bad when I say it, because I want her to know that when you see him, trust me, I said you have to stand up for what you say, for what your word, honor your word. Because sometimes we only a human being. Sometimes we make a mistake, and
right.
Sometimes we find out that what we say is it's something that God uses us.
Exactly. So then the end of verse 5 says, thinketh no evil. Okay, that is the 13, the very last part of 13:5. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered, even when everyone seems to be against you or when people openly attack you. Love does not hold a grudge against someone. Love forgives. It chooses not to bring up past wrongs in accusation or retaliation, does not return evil for evil, and does not indulge in self-pity. Love covers a multitude of sins. But it's hard. Because words, that little song we used to sing as kids, you know, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I'm sorry, but words hurt. I'd rather somebody hit me with something. That bruise is going to go away after a little while. But you say something wrong and you say something in anger, and you may not mean it, you may not even really even think it, but it comes out anyway.
Yeah.
And you can't get it, you can't snatch it back and say, forget that I even said that. Because they've heard it, they've taken it to heart, and so now And then some people have a harder time letting go, and it could be years and years and years, and it's like, they'll still, the next time they see you, they'll remember exactly what you said, when you said it, and how you said it.
What you had on when you
probably exactly where we were and everything else. Yes. So, but we are the ones. We are the ones that hold on to things and let them cloud our walk with the Lord. We allow it to cause division between our sisters, our family. We allow that to happen because in Christ we should be able to have confession, have restitution, and then let it go. If someone's asked you for forgiveness and you say, yes, I forgive you, you need to let it go. You need to drop it. It's not something you you can't hold on to it. You can't. Well, I gave them my forgiveness, but I don't really forgive them. Or I'm going to forgive them, but I don't really want to. That's not forgiveness. You have. Yes, ma'am. Exactly.
What did you say?
Say it again.
It's like saying, I'll forgive you, but I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's wrong. I mean, Christ has the ability to forgive us our sins, and they're as far away as the east is from the west. He has that capability of completely forgetting them. We don't have that capability, but we can choose to not let it come up in our thoughts. And if it does, we have to say, Satan, I have forgiven them. I'm not going there. You know, because he's the one that's going to go, but remember what you did. Remember how you said that? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. See, you know, it, yeah. Yes, ma'am.
No. Remember what I was thinking?
Oh,
yeah. I know, it's like that. What about, I mean, okay, forgiveness, yes, but then how do you rebuild the trust? You know, like, if that person has really wronged you, and you do want to forgive them, and you do choose to forgive them, and you pray and to forgive them and all, but yet, are you going to stick, you know, I mean, you need to go right back into that same relationship?
No,
and you may not.
And you don't have, and I don't think the Lord expects us to.
He expects you to be smart.
Right.
I think.
Right. We can put it in the.
From your reason.
Yeah. Right. We have to learn from
what happened.
Mm-hmm. But if it affects the way our walk with the Lord is, then that's where the problem lies. If in forgiving them you haven't truly forgiven them, then there's still this bitterness, this stuff is in your heart and in your thought patterns, and you may not know that it's there, and then something brings it up, and it's like,
yes,
but I forgave them. Mm-hmm. But did you really?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yes.
You didn't. You're still holding on to it. You're still letting it consume you, and you're still letting it be a problem. So that's what. But yes, trust has to be regained. Mm-hmm. Trust, but you have to be cautious about it. There are people that you can just, you know, you can trust them. You can sense it in your spirit. You know that they're going to be trustworthy and they're going to do what they say. But if people have shown you that they're untrustworthy, just have, it's like, Lord, I have to be cautious. I have to be careful going back into this situation. I have forgiven them, but my heart has been hurt. I'm a little damaged here, and I need you to help me to rebuild our relationship But it has to go slowly. And you have to see that they've changed, or you have to see that you've changed in your attitude toward them. Yes, ma'am.
Or either to intend to forgive that person, you have to talk to her one by one.
Yes.
It's up to you. Mm-hmm. Just go bring somewhere. And just you and her,
and right?
Just
and
her nicely.
And sometimes it takes that. Sometimes that works, and sometimes it doesn't.
I know, but sometimes.
But if you put the little, like, you offer this, mm-hmm. you know, I would like to rebuild our relationship. You can even just leave it at that. I would like us to be friends again. Mm-hmm. 5 minutes, okay.
But what happens if you really, the hurt is so deep that you really don't want to rebuild that?
Ask God for help.
Well, yeah.
But you really just don't want to. Because there are people that have done things to you that you go,
he's hurt
behind me.
Yeah.
And it could truly be that situation. You know, Lord's not telling, I mean, we have to love as Christ loved, and Christ loved everyone. But just because I love you in Christ doesn't mean I have to have a relationship with you.
Yes.
You don't have to be in my inner, my relationship center. You know, I can be friendly to you. I will say hello to you. I will, you know, if you call me, I will talk to you. But we don't have to hang out. You know, we don't have to go to lunch, and we don't have to do, you know, you don't have to come over, and we can just be friendly because I want you to know the Lord. And or I want you, you know, but it's not good for me to have you in my life, but I will be friendly to you. I will not go out of my way to spend time with you, but I will be friendly. That's still showing love, but being cautious.
Yeah.
Because there's sometimes, I mean, there are people that just want to destroy your life because they don't like the fact that you have peace.
You are at peace.
You have peace, they don't have it, and they don't like it, and they don't want you to have anything. Well, yeah, it's a matter of that too. I mean, it goes right along with all of that, but it's still a matter of we have a peace and a calm about us that people that really are struggling and they find it difficult to be around us. They do. Okay, so we're gonna pick up with so when we're having trouble forgiving and forgetting, we need to do what? And Isaiah 26:3 tells us that we need to read God's word. We need to spend time in his word. We need to think on the things. We read these verses. Read Galatians 5:22 and 23. Read the verses that speak of Christ's love and his forgiveness. And Galatians 6, yeah, but down here it says Isaiah 26:3. And then if you go to the top of page 42, there's some verses, the verse in Matthew 5:44, you know, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. That. And if the only thing that you can do for that person is pray for them, that's pretty mighty. Because it's hard to pray for people that you really don't like. It really is.
But that's the easiest thing to do.
But that's the easiest. Because then...
They don't have to be bothered.
Because then they're God. God's... they're God's problem. I give you to the Lord, basically. I give you over to the Lord.